was sitting in the living room on the sofa the wrong way round, looking out the window. It was quiet, and then in the car park across the road we saw Elvis. Look there, beside the postman's van. He was walking round the postman's van, looking in the open door. He looked as if he was thinking about getting in, but then the postman came back, and he swaggered off, walked past the window and down the stairs, and then the bottom of the stairs up to the caretaker's office. Started licking the pavement. Every night now since we moved into that new house, there's this noise outside the door just about 7:30 or 8 o'clock every night. Now if you go and look outside the door, Elvis will be standing there waiting to be let in. And then he wanders into the living room and maybe sits down in one of the chairs or even lies down on the floor. He doesn't say much, he just stays there for an hour or two watching TV. We talk to him a bit, and then around 10 o'clock, he'll go away again, and I'll come back for the next night. There's a lot of lanes and stuff around here, around the house. Although it's right in the middle of the city, it seems a bit like the country. It's dead hidden, safe I suppose, good for hiding. There's a lot of squirrels and birds, and Stuart says he's seen about 9 foxes there when he's jumping over the fence on his way to Byers Road. Sometimes you can go out walking and when you've been out for a wee while, even you don't know where you are anymore, so it'd be pretty hard for anyone else to find you. I suppose that's why he spends so much time there, that's why he's came to live there. Or maybe it's just the squirrels. I read about somewhere that he likes squirrels quite a lot. There's these two videos that we got for wedding presents called the E-Files, E-Files 1 and E-Files 2, about how Elvis is supposed to be still alive. And one time when he came round we were watching one of those, he didn't say anything, he just sat in the armchair. He was playing with his collar a bit and he watched it all through, but then when it finished he just got up and walked up into the mezzanine. He didn't say anything. The first few times he came round and I didn't speak to him at all or do anything. I wasn't really sure what to say. Pam spoke to him quite a lot and she seemed to know what to do more than I did. He had quite a strange manner. He would just go into your stuff and look through it. Then he'd maybe pick something up and play with that for a wee while, but he'd never make any comment about any of it. It seemed pretty rude to me. But I just watched whatever Pam did with him, listened to how she talked to him, and then after a while I started to copy that, tell him a few things, not really bother about whether he responded or said anything back or not. I think the first time I spoke to him we were sitting up in the mezzanine, and I decided that I would tell him about me and Lee Cam and how it was we'd come to be living there. I thought he'd probably like the fact that we were living there because he came round so much, so I thought he might want to know how it was that it came about. We did it all over backwards, I told him. First of all, we got to know each other, and then a while after that, we met. And when we'd known each other for about 7 years, we decided to have an anniversary. And that went quite well. So after the anniversary, we had a honeymoon. And that went well too. So after that, we decided we would get married. That's why we're living there now. I used to think my dad was Elvis, but I haven't told him that yet. I haven't told my dad either.